Hi, everyone. Welcome to Waste 360's Nothing Wasted podcast. On every episode, we invite the most interesting people in waste, recycling, and organics to sit down with us and chat candidly about their thoughts, their work, this unique industry, and so much more. So thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Liz Bothwell from Waste 360 with Paul Evers, co-founder and CEO of Riff. Welcome, Paul, and thanks for being on the show today.
Well, I really appreciate the invitation. It's good to be here. Thank you.
So, Paul, we usually start at the beginning, so I'd love to hear more about your path and your background and eventually how you ended up co-founding Riff.
Well, it's a bit of an adventurous story, if you're up for it.
Absolutely.
My background is actually creative services, coming from graphic design, art direction, and moved to this beautiful, idyllic town called Bend, Oregon, back in 1990. And we fell in love with the town, but in order to move to Bend, I got off the career ladder and was working at a small ad agency here in Bend. They were doing amazing work, actually handling, you know, aspects of the state tourism board, handling state tourism, promoting state tourism. Had some really great local, recreation and lodging accounts, resort accounts, and also an arm of the Oregon Lottery. But there was no real upward mobility there. So I decided that I needed to figure out how to reapply myself. You know, Bend is this somewhat isolated. It's 2.5 hours from the nearest metropolitan area or major metro area, about 3.5 hours from Portland. And we fell in love with the town so much we wanted to stay here, even though I had gotten some job offers in Portland and Boise, Idaho. And so started an agency with a couple of good friends. And that, transformed me from, an art director, creative director type to an entrepreneur trying to figure out how to navigate through the advertising business and figuring out how that works and how you can generate revenue enough to pay for a staff and, you know, make sure everybody's well taken care of. And then that led to, we ended up specializing in craft beverage with an emphasis on craft beer. That led to coming up with a crazy idea of co-founding a craft brewery with a couple of veterans in the craft beer space. It was a really super exciting time in craft beer when they were revolutionizing beer itself and challenging, you know, the big three. And so I worked on that for about a decade and in day-to-day operations while also managing the agency. We ended up shuttering the agency for a number of reasons. It's kind of a perfect storm of things. And then I was thinking about the next venture and got excited about what was happening in coffee as a category with, you know, the new challenger subset of the category, cold brewed coffee, doing some incredible things, some innovative things and some exciting things and decided that that would be an exciting path to venture onto and gathered a few friends and we co-founded what is Riff. That's kind of the synopsis of my journey.
Wow, that's amazing. What a good journey and what a creative background. That must help you be a pretty amazing entrepreneur.
Well, you know, it's, it probably has, it comes with its strengths and weaknesses. It's really interesting. It's interesting applying, competencies and skill sets that you've developed over the years, applying it to your own baby. And trying to be objective at the same time. There's some real value to, you know, third party outside objective perspectives when you're looking at building a brand. And so we still, you know, we rely on that, soliciting input and feedback from partners that aren't involved in the day to day.
Smart. And then I had read that in your journey, you found sort of an undercover dirty secret with coffee. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that, how you found that and that coffee is actually a fruit. If you could enlighten us, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Did you know that coffee was actually a fruit?
No, I didn't until I read that.
You know, it's like 90, 95% of the people I talk to I had no idea that coffee was fruit. Now, I'd say I had a kind of a vague idea that coffee was a fruit, but I never really thought of it as a fruit. And so, when I was talking about the kind of our craft beer background, one of my co-founders comes to us from Stumptown. He's the guy who invented nitro cold brew, as an example. And then a couple other folks that I worked with for a long, long time, a couple decades in the creative services business. One was my son, Bobby, who's an incredible creative, and Kevin, who I've worked with for over 20 years. He's really got a great critical mind. We had an amazing team. We assembled an amazing team. And innovation, because our general idea was to bring a craft sensibility to coffee and kind of liven it up. And coffee, the color scheme, the color ways for the category are pretty dark and serious, for coffee. And when you look at the flavor wheel for coffee and you apply a color scheme to it, it's quite vibrant and beautiful. There are flavor notes in coffee that are dried fruit, citrus, floral, not just chocolatey and nutty. So with innovation as sort of, I guess, the foundational aspect of our DNA and our ethos, we wanted to explore more of what the coffee plant has to offer. So we started experimenting with the fruity pulp that surrounds the bean on the plant. Traditionally, a dried form that's called cascara or coffee fruit. Bobby and I had traveled to Colombia back in 2017 before we really got serious about planning, because we wanted to understand how coffee was grown, cultivated, what was it like to be a coffee farmer. And so we experienced, I guess we were enlightened to the fruit aspect of coffee on that trip, and actually pulled the coffee cherry or berry off the plant and squeezed out the two-headed seed, which is the bean, the coffee bean, and then ate the fruit, and were really surprised by the level of sweetness, the fruit flavor notes. This particular berry that we tried tasted more like apple and had a citrusy note. Really complex, exotic, new, different. And it was extraordinary. And then we were also, on the tour of these plantations, we saw where they, an area of the plantation in the back corner where they were actually discarding this fruit once the bean was depulped or squeezed out of the cherry, just thrown into the back corner of the plantation. And you can see trees that pre-existed, this practice. Were leafless and no longer growing, no longer alive, because as we learned later, this fruit is high in sugar, high in moisture content, high in nutritional value. So it makes a really perfect environment for microbials to go in and create, environmental havoc. In some instances, generating mycotoxins that seep into the soil and the water table, destroying the land for future agricultural production. And so we didn't learn all this fa these facts behind Cascara until we started experimenting with it in late 2019 and translating it into a beverage. And we what we were kind of taking a different take on it. Traditionally, Cascara is steeped like a tea and would be in a ready-to-drink format. It's typically bottled, and it's like a still iced tea. But we started, doing our own desk research and learning more and more about, I guess the mag you know, trying to learn about the magnitude of the amount of coffee fruit that's produced as a byproduct of the harvest, and what was the nutritional value, what was the traditional applications of this or uses of it, and what was the environmental impact. And we were getting basically no real answers from trade organizations around the world, with several inquiries and multiple inquiries with each. No real answer. We were asking, what is the magnitude of Cascara coffee fruit that's produced each year, and what is its impact on the environment? What are the traditional uses? And there was no real data that was available. So we reached out to a senior climate change scientist at Oregon State University, just on the other side of the Cascade Mountain Range, and convinced them to partner with us on an environmental impact study, which was ultimately conducted by a PhD student. So this is where we learned about, or it was, I guess, validating our suspicion that there was a dirty, not so little secret that the copy industry had.
Wow. And the good folks who were farming, they thought they were composting this in the proper way, right?
I think not, actually. So I guess this is what we learned from the study. And, you know, speaking of the study, you know, even the senior climate change scientist and the researcher, they couldn't find any existing study prior to conducting this. So we believe it was the first one conducted, which is really super surprising to me. The copy industry has been around for about four or 500 years. What the study concluded or found was that an estimated, well, there's about 25 billion pounds of dried green coffee produced for export each year. And as a result, there's about 100 billion pounds of this coffee fruit that is produced as a byproduct. 30% of it is actually put to good use in the form of composting, converting it to fertilizer, animal feed, and biofuel. But an estimated 70% of it, which would be 70 billion pounds, is literally thrown to waste. And there's several ways in which it's thrown to waste. I mentioned before that some of it's just dumped in the back corners of coffee plantations. A traditional way of getting rid of the cascara waste in Mexico is just dumping it into streams, where as it decomposes, it's depleting the water of oxygen and killing off fish and other aquatic life. But the vast majority is hauled off to landfill, where it's piled into mountains. And as it's decomposing, emitting methane gas equivalent to 14.5 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, which is the same level of emissions as 3 million automobiles in a single year.
Were you shocked?
It, you know, it makes matter. Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has a very, you know, specific idea, deeply entrenched idea of what coffee is. Most people recognize it as a, you know, a roasted dark bean. Nobody really, this is a broad generalization, of course, but nobody really understands that it's a fruit. And that what our position is cascara or coffee fruit, the fruity pulp that surrounds the bean, is arguably the better half of what the coffee plant has to offer. But because people don't know about it, there's no demand for it, and it's just being thrown to waste, which is idiotic in a way. So we really need the coffee industry to step up, the larger players to tell this story and to be honest about it and forget about the black eye that's going to result from their history of, you know, contributing to this massive environmental problem.
Uh-huh. And are you seeing any wins there yet, or you find yourself alone in this endeavor?
Well, I don't know of any other large coffee company or a coffee company that's really telling this story. But there are some coffee companies that are actually putting coffee fruit to good use. Starbucks is one. They just came out with a new product called Baya Energy, which is coincidentally produced by, they have an exclusive contract with PepsiCo to produce all their RTD beverages. And coincidentally, PepsiCo has actually placed several orders of Riff on our website, letsriff.com, over the last couple of years. And you know, the drinks are kind of familiar looking. They're energy plus immunity, you know, tropical flavors of guava and a berry. We celebrate that, even though they're a competitor, but they're at least doing something to help solve this problem.
Sure.
But what we love is a higher level of honesty and transparency around what they're doing and the problem that they're trying to solve.
Absolutely. And I guess, I mean, that's part of reversing the environmental impact of coffee in general, right? Is there anything else that can be done?
Well, it could be, you know, There are some new practices where they're using it as fertilizer in the whole form, but spreading it out as I guess a nutritionally rich or to enhance soils and forests, I guess, is what they're using it for. They're spreading it across the floor of the forest, and it's as it's decomposing rather than being piled in mount, you know, in piles, spread out evenly, so there it can decompose naturally and enrich the soil. So that's a new practice. There could be other applications, but what we believe is the best use is translating the nutritional value, because it's naturally caffeinated. It's high in antioxidants, high in potassium, iron, magnesium. It scores very high on the superfruit scale, and it should be really translated to human consumption. That's the best use, and that's what our whole initiative is by translating coffee fruit to food and beverage products that have promise of scale that appeal to a mass audience, we can have optimal impact. And also tell the story and challenge others to join us.
Absolutely. That storytelling piece is huge because everyone can relate to it. And it's a big task, but I love that you discovered this and you're out here telling the story, and it will eventually catch on for sure.
It has to. From our perspective, yeah, we sure hope so. And we're doing everything we can to, we've done a lot of iterations on the beverage and refining it, you know, doing consumer testing on sensory as well as brand position, messaging hierarchy on the packaging, et cetera. And because it's a new category, it's a new flavor profile. You know, it takes some iterating, and we don't have the resources to conduct a significant study. So we've been refining as we go. And this is really, you know, right now our product line is Riff Energy Plus Immunity, which is our foray into the functional beverage space, because that's a category that's growing rapidly. Consumers looking for better for you. Energy drinks that provide also a functional benefit in addition to energy. So we're about to release a little later this year, extend the line to include a hydrate functional benefit. And we have others in the innovation pipeline. And all of this is really an objective of producing products that will scale so that we can maximize impact.
Oh, that's great to hear. I love that. And I also know that you can't have real sustainability wins without focusing on the communities you're doing business in. And it sounds like all that you're doing encompasses that as well. And it seems you focus on local farmers and the communities handling it. Are you seeing a change within those communities and how they're handling the waste and how they're treated themselves and any movement there?
There is movement there, and what's really interesting, you know, as I mentioned prior, coffee's a 400 or 500-year-old category, and coffee fruit is a nascent category. It's new. So the traditional ways of processing it, it's in a dried form because, you know, once you puncture the skin to pull the bean out of there, extract the bean, you know, the environment is now or the all that nutritional value, the sugars and the moisture content has full exposure to the environment. So traditionally what's happening is it's dried at source and then exported in dry form and then, a liquid extracting by steeping is the traditional method for translating it to a beverage. But now there are new products on the market, which is taking the fruity pulp of that bean, of the coffee cherry, and juicing it, juicing it to achieve or to result in a fruit juice concentrate. And we're excited about this because this has a higher level of the nutrients in caffeine, and our objective is to translate 100% of the nutritional value of the coffee plant to food and beverage products. So that's a new alternative and option. And, you know, some of the, you know, innovators in the space are, investing against different ways to translate this to consumable products. And, it's such a small category right now because there are only a few brands that are really taking Cascara and translating it into a packaged beverage. And so there's a lot more work to do. And I'm sure there's a ton more innovation down the road. But one of the things that we are focused on is really supply chain economic inequity. Right now, 75 to 85% of the world's coffee is grown by smallholder farmers. These are independent farmers around the world carrying on a multi-generational legacy of growing coffee. But it's starting to not make very much sense for them because, you know, commodity pricing is low enough to where they're not making a reliable living. Not only that, they're having to deal with rising temperatures, which is leading to a proliferation of plant disease, you know, leaf rust, which is destroying the coffee plants. Coffee is grown in a very narrow temperature window, so leading climate scientists are now predicting by the year 2050, as much as half of the land currently used for coffee production will no longer be viable. And I'm sure that they're moving that schedule up as we're learning more and more about how rapidly what we predicted is, you know, significant effects of climate change are happening sooner than we thought. So they've gotten a lot of challenges. And not only that, in some of these countries, Latin America, Central America, South America, these farmers are actually having to pay a tax to the government for them to haul off the coffee fruit cascara to landfills. And so that's placing an extra burden on them to manage this. But if we can inject economic value via demand for coffee fruit and cascara, then they could potentially double their revenues and double their employment, and help introduce greater sustainability to the coffee industry as a whole.
Absolutely. Wow. It's so amazing to hear this nascent phase that you're in and just where this will go. And there's just so much opportunity everywhere to help everyone. And as you've said, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Yes. You know, our objective, you know, down the road here, we'll be, you know, looking at becoming a B Corp. But we really are focused on a triple bottom line: people, planet, and profit. And, you know, what we've stumbled upon is a massive problem that really, when you look at it with the right lens, it is a massive opportunity. The massive opportunity to reverse coffee's contribution to climate change, inject economic viability for struggling coffee farmers, translate the, you know, a nutrient rich, traditionally wasted agricultural product into food and beverages that benefit humans. So it's just really, there's just an amazing opportunity. We believe that what we found really is a perfect overlap between an altruistic sense of purpose and an enterprise opportunity, because with scale, we're solving those problems. So we're seeking to achieve that triple bottom line of people, planet, and profit.
That's great. Because like you're saying, you can have the best intentions, but if you can't scale, then you can't bring it to the point that you need to in order to help in the way that you want to. So people talk about sustainability, and it has to be just purpose driven and socially viable. But if it's not economically viable, right, there's no way to take it to the next level. So I love that you're all about that triple bottom line.
Yeah, economics play a critical role in affecting change in this world.
Definitely.
The other thing that we're really we're concerned about is human health and wellness. And so we're working hard on making sure that we're staying true to producing clean label products. You know, when you read the ingredient deck on the back, you actually understand what those ingredients are. You can pronounce them. They're not produced in a lab. They're, you know, produced under the sun. And so 40 calories is technically low calorie product. So translating the optimal amount of nutrients into the beverage, you know, we've got 120 milligrams of caffeine, 12 grams of total sugars, 40 calories. And we're using real fruit juice concentrates and purees, as well as coffee fruit juice concentrate. So really working hard to create really, you know, great products for people with an eye on human health and wellness, and then an eye on planet health and wellness, and then also health and wellness for the farming communities. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. The big producers in the space tend to cut corners because they're almost exclusively focused on the monetary bottom line rather than the triple bottom line.
Sure. And I think the pressure's building for maybe them to turn the corner at some point as well, at least from consumers voting with their wallets, hopefully.
Yes, consumers have the ability to impact change. The other thing that is interesting is the SEC is introducing new regulatory around climate change, asking publicly traded or I guess setting standards for reporting risks associated with climate change, whether it's their contribution to climate change or the risk that climate change has on their business, and including that in their reportings. That will certainly help bring about change and different perspective in prioritizing ESG over just quarterly earnings report as the being the primary measure of the success of the business.
That will have an impact for sure. And then you talked about labels, and I would love to know what exactly is clean caffeine. Can you describe that?
I think that that's a somewhat of a an interpretive term. But our clean caffeine is caffeine that's naturally found in the coffee plant. So the base caffeine is coming by way of the coffee fruit juice concentrate. And then we're augmenting that in order to regulate the caffeine level with caffeine from green coffee. So nothing synthetically produced.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about your packaging. Your product comes in aluminum cans and they can obviously be recycled. Was that important to you when you were designing this product?
Yeah, there's a couple of considerations there. We wanted to adopt the format that would be would help telegraph the category for the product, and that is the broadly adopted can format for the energy category. So that helps with communicating what this drink is. Aluminum is infinitely recyclable, which is great. Right now, actually, we are certified. RIP Energy Plus is the first certified carbon neutral energy drink in the US. It could be globally. We don't know. There's no central repository for holding those certifications. And so right now, we're a small brand. We're a challenger brand competing in a highly competitive category with big, giant brands that have infinite resources or seemingly infinite resources. And so we've been iterating, and these certifications take some time. And what I'm getting at is right now we have a label on the can, and that is considered a part of the life cycle assessment that is considered with the certification for carbon neutrality. But we're excited because our next run will be on printed cans, which enhances our reduces our carbon footprint. We're so close to being inherently carbon neutral just from the diversion of nutrient-rich food from going to waste. We do have to purchase offsets to maintain the certification for carbon neutrality, but that equates to about 0.1% of our total revenue generated from the sale of Energy Plus, and we're seeing a quick path to being carbon neutral without the need to purchase offsets. So packaging is really important from that perspective, related to carbon footprint.
Wow, that's fabulous. Good for you.
But we're
And
excited about that.
oh, I bet. I mean, to be certified as the first and then to know where you're headed with that and your intentions of getting there, that's just amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of work, and we're working hard to do the right thing every day, and we hope that consumers are able to recognize that and get excited about what it is that we're doing and to join the team, so to speak.
Yes, I think so. And I think, like you said, you're nascent and the demand will continue to grow as especially as you expand. I think you will be eaten up, pun intended, and people will love it. So
I look forward to it then.
So I know we talked a little bit about how many brands are trying to be socially minded and purpose driven. But I know a lot have been derailed due to expenses and dealing with legacy challenges and complications. Do you have any advice for people who want to do better with the products they're creating, but they're hitting bumps along the way?
Well, I guess the thing that has been game changing for us is we, you know, basically stumbled upon this environmental, this huge, you know, environmental issue with coffee. And when we conducted the research study and learned, you know, the facts around the impact and what's happening within coffee, it led to a transformation of our company. We went from, you know, being a cool, you know, cold brew brand with a craft sensibility, with a fun flair. We didn't lose that, by the way, but what transformation was really becoming purpose-driven about something bigger and greater than ourselves. That's what really motivates us to see barriers every day as an opportunity to prove once again how passionate we are to make a difference in this world, rather than feeling defeated. Because as a small brand entering a category like this, and it's just, you know, very similar across all consumer packaged goods, the industry is seemingly conspiring against you. There's all kinds of reasons why you should fail. In fact, 90% of brands that like Riff do fail because it's so challenging, so hard to get into market and to get distribution and gain velocity on shelf. There are, you know, in the non-alcoholic category of beverage, there's all kinds of opportunities for Pepsi or Coke or the big guys to have exclusives with distributors and with retailers and to, you know, purchase shelf space. It makes it uber challenging for small brands like Riff with limited resources. So it's expensive to compete in this. And we wouldn't have come this far if we weren't purpose-driven. The other thing that we do all the time is reach out to other people, experts in the industry, for their feedback and guidance. You know, looking at resources, intellectual resources, institutional knowledge, industrial knowledge, category knowledge, and, you know, never assume that we know what, you know, I guess embrace uncertainty and be open to the learnings that are out there for those that are, you know, in the industry that be rooting alongside you. We're also part of an accelerator. It's called the Intertwined Group, or TIG. That's been incredible for us, incredible resource. A gentleman by the name of Elliot Began has really helped inspire us and center us and help us with strategy and planning.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure that's helpful. And do you know Kara Golden from Hint Water?
You know, I don't know her personally, but I certainly know who she is.
If you haven't read her book, she faced a lot of the challenges you have, you know, because she was a challenger brand, and she dealt with the big guys and then some bumps in the road over COVID. And it's just so interesting. You have a very similar journey. So it would be interesting if you two connected. I know she's very open to talking with people who are like-minded. So perhaps you could be on her podcast someday.
I love it. I would welcome that opportunity.
That's awesome. Okay, maybe I will send her a tweet and introduce you guys.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, that'd be one of my first tweet introductions.
There you go. Oh, then we have to make this happen.
Yeah, good.
And so, very cool. I see that you have Vernon Davis as an ambassador. I love him and love that he won Super Bowl 50. And how did you end up partnering together?
Well, getting back to being that smaller challenger brand with little resources, we're trying to figure out how do you hack the system, you know? Digital paid advertising is so expensive. It's really hard to break through channels. So we've taken a different approach of aligning primarily based on shared values with people who have a broad audience that we can help amplify or impact and be a multiplier. So Vernon Davis joined the team 2 years ago in July and has been, he's an advisor, investor, and ambassador for RIF, and has done everything he can for us, which we are so grateful and appreciative of. It's been really amazing. He loves what we're doing. He loves the values that we're working against, this objective and goal of reaching a triple bottom line. So he was introduced by a mutual friend, somebody who had already invested in RIF, and we've become great friends. He's been just a light for us. So that's been really, really wonderful. You know, he's a Super Bowl champion, but he's also an entrepreneur himself and an investor. And he's also, you know, finding his way onto the big screen. He's done a few films with Bruce Willis, John Malkovich. And so he's really passionate about his acting career. Now we've also got a new ambassador on our team, Sedona Prince. Are you familiar with Sedona Prince?
Basketball.
Basketball. Good job. Yeah, basketball. She is the University of Oregon player who called out the disparity between the men's and women's weight training facilities at the March Madness tournament last year.
Okay. Yeah.
She did a TikTok and just blown up. You know, she was. The ESPN had a documentary feature of her just a week or so ago. It's called The Rule of Sedona Prince. She's really taken her platform and made it meaningful, advocating for equity and accessibility. And so she's been a real great force, and she loves what we're doing. We met at a dinner with Vernon. We went to the University of Oregon, and you know, we had a dinner with student athletes there because we wanted to meet Vernon and, you know, hear his story as, you know, a high achieving college football player and pro football player. And then more so how he's transitioned from sports and athletics over to entrepreneurship. So he's a great mentor. As well. And so Sedona is passionate, and she is now our chief community officer and is going to be championing RIF throughout her channel. She, on TikTok, she has 1 more million followers than a brand called Nike.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, yeah, she's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, I need to follow her. Wow. And what a great way to align yourself with people who have similar values. I mean, I can't think of two better people. That is wonderful.
You know, and as we, you know, reach out to ambassadors, we're also looking for diverse, you know, perspectives. So inclusion and diversity is really super important to us as well. You know, we're thinking about how our impact on the supply chain from coffee farmers, exporters, processors to consumers and, you know, being a champion for them along with the planet. And so having a diverse range of folks that are advisors and influencers for RIF is really, really super important for us.
Oh, I bet you can tell. Well, that's wonderful, and good luck with them. And I will definitely follow her on TikTok. And then, so what's next for you and for RIF? Can you please expand to the East Coast?
Well, if you have a Stop and Shop in your neck of the woods, we will be available there mid to late August.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes, we do. That's a big chain here.
That's a big chain. We'll be launching in 320 stores. We are, that's our entree into the Northeast, and we'll be expanding from there, looking at retailers like Wegmans and other retailers would be a good fit for RIF. We're also doing a roadshow with Costco in Southern California this summer. We're in, you know, conversations with Sam's Club and lots of exciting things happening. And we're available online on the West Coast with Imperfect Foods, on the East Coast with Hungry Harvest, also Snack Magic, which is a corporate gifting platform. So we're doing everything we can to break into these channels and with retailers. We've got, you know, high focus on, you know, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other specialty grocery chains that align, have a high indexing of our consumer, people who care about the health and well-being of the planet and those in the supply chain as much as they do their own.
Oh, well, this is exciting. All good things. And I'm so glad I had a chance to hear your story, and our listeners will have a chance to hear your amazing story as well. And thank you for being with us, and we will continue to watch your journey.
Well, thank you so much. And we have to do that discount code.
Oh, yes.
What if we had it, Waste-Free 60 for a 25% discount?
I love that. And we could share that with our readers as well and put it in the show notes. Oh, well, thank you so much. And congrats on your success. And I really hope you scale to the highest potential possible. I love what you're doing. And I learned so much. So thank you.
No, thank you so much, Liz. Really appreciate it, and really appreciate your support in helping to champion, brands that are making a difference with regard to sustainability. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. And please keep in touch as you scale and add new products. We'd love to hear about it. So please keep us on your list.
Absolutely. We'll do.
All
thank
right.
you. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Okay. Have a great day.
Take care. You
Bye.
Too.